Harmony Baptist Church, providing a message of hope to the hopeless.
If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you'll be turning with me to the book of Luke and chapter number 12. The book of Luke and chapter number 12. We're going to talk a little bit this morning about everybody's favorite topic in the New Testament, and that's the Pharisees. I know there's nobody in the congregation this morning that would identify as a Pharisee. Would say, oh no, we're not like them at all. But we'll see if you have that same thought when we leave the service today. Because whether we want to admit it or not, we'll probably all have a little bit of Pharisee in us, unfortunately. All right, if you found your place there in Luke chapter 12, if you would stand with me as we read God's Word. We're going to start there in verse number 1 of chapter 12. It says, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod upon one another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Let us pray this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray you would give me the words that you would have me to use, Lord, this morning, and nothing else, Lord. May they be received as your words. May we take the message, Lord. May we apply it to our lives. May we walk out of here different than the way we walked in, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we see here that Jesus is talking to his disciples, but he has a large group surrounding him. Well, large probably isn't a big enough word, because it says that there was a multitude that they couldn't number. There were so many people. And the thing that stuck out to me about this verse was that of all the things that Jesus could have talked about, he could have preached on to this great multitude of people, he could have given an evangelistic message, he could have told people how to get to heaven, he could have had any number of things to say, but the words that he chose were, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So we know it must be a big deal to Jesus that this was his message given to an innumerable amount of people. So we follow up in the last part of chapter 11. The last verse of chapter 11 says that they were laying in wait for him, seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. So not only was the disciples there in this great number of people, but within that was the Pharisees. They were there hoping to catch Jesus in a slip-up, hoping that he would misspeak, he would say something, and they were there ready to pounce on him. But yet Jesus decided to talk about the Pharisees right in front of them. He was telling his disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. When I looked up the definition of hypocrisy, it says the practice of claiming to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's own behavior does not conform. The synonyms here listed are empty talk, insincere, falseness, dishonesty, deceit, phoniness, and a fraud. I think that's a secular definition, by the way. That didn't come out of a Bible dictionary. That came out of a secular dictionary. So that's the world's definition of hypocrisy. Saying one thing and doing something completely different. Now, when I started, I said that, you know, none of us would identify as the Pharisees, but in a lot of ways, I think we tend to probably be a little bit like them, more than we really want to admit. And the first way that I see that we're probably like the Pharisees, and that's probably one that goes to all the parents in the room. Because at one time or another, as parents, we have probably uttered the statement, do as I say and not as I do. that ring a bell anywhere? Yeah, we've probably all done that, haven't we? And that basically is the definition of hypocrisy, isn't it? Doing one thing but saying something different. Fortunately, we probably are all guilty there. Another example basically of kind of the same thing that as Christians a lot of times I think we tend to do and we don't realize it is when it comes to prayer. When somebody comes up and talks to us about something, gives us maybe a prayer request or tells us how bad their day is or things are in their life, we just look at them and use one of those, you know, southern euphemisms and say, well, bless your heart, I'll pray for you. And then we don't. That's hypocrisy, right? Saying we're going to pray for them, and then that just went in one ear, right out the other one, and we never thought another thing about it. We're all guilty of it. I'm guilty of it just as much as anybody else. I have learned myself that I need to write notes. If I keep my prayer list, if I keep it in my phone, there's a good chance I'll pray for it. If I don't make a note of it, a lot of times I'm guilty of hypocrisy because it'll go one in one ear and right out the other one. Not intentionally, it's just the fact of life. My memory isn't as great as I'd like for it to be. Sometimes I'll be like, somebody asked me to pray for them, but I can't remember. If I can't remember it or I don't think about it, then I'm just as bad as the Pharisees, aren't I? Because I said I would, and then I'm not. It's an example of being hypocrisy. And then we get down to social media, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all these wonderful things that technology has given us. And my, how we can use those to share God's love with the rest of the world. We can reach those who would never step foot in a building with a steeple and a cross on top of it, but they'll look, they'll get on Facebook, they'll get on Twitter, they'll browse around the internet, they'll look at videos, they'll look at messages, and my, how we can reach them. But what does our social media really say? Think about it. A lot of times we're good, we can post scriptures, we can post all kinds of religious-y things on it. And just to look at our Facebook, you would think, hey, we are just a number one Christian. We do everything right. Life's wonderful. We always know the scriptures to post. And then maybe we meet that person in real life, and does their actions back up what they're saying on Facebook? Unfortunately, there's several people I know of that live one way on Facebook, but in real life live a totally different life. Yeah. Y'all are agreeing with me, so y'all can think of several people too. Hopefully none of them that are in this room are doing that. But unfortunately, we all tend to do it a little bit. We can all hide behind our posts, and it's easy when we're not being confronted or we're not being, the pressure's not on. It's an easy time to quote scripture and to say the right things. But in real life, when people are watching us and watching our actions, we might tell a different story. I use myself as an example here. I can say lots of things on Facebook, and I can type it out and I can read it. If I don't like what it says, I can sit there and I can hit the backspace button and I can reword it. Still don't like it, I can erase it and reword it again until I'm happy with it, and then I can actually post it. But in real life, we don't get redos, do we? When somebody comes up and tells us something, we only get one shot at what we say, or maybe more importantly, what our facial reactions say about us. Now, I don't believe it, but I've been told that I tend to roll my eyes out loud a lot. I don't catch myself doing it. It's not like I'm sitting here looking at the ceiling or anything. But I have been told that my eyes tend to roll a lot. So it's something I have to watch and be careful of. Because I may be sitting there thinking one thing, and if I roll my eyes, then I'm telling that person that I could care less, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, and that may be not what I'm thinking at all. But the impression that I have given that person is that I'm a hypocrite because I say one thing and my facial expressions are saying something different. A good example of that is when people know you're a preacher, I can have an effect when I walk in a room. Y'all believe that? Yeah. I can walk in a room and kill a conversation. I don't have to say a word. I can do it. It's quite annoying sometimes, too, because you're like, oh, no, were they talking about me? What did I walk into? But, yeah, people know you're a preacher. You can walk into a room and kill the conversation. I don't have a clue what they're talking about, but I know it gets real quiet. That tells me that probably what they're talking about, they probably shouldn't be talking about. Now, why they're changing when a preacher walks in the room, I don't know. I'm not the judge, I'm not the jury. That's God the Father's and the Holy Spirit's job. It's not my job. I'm not there to judge or convict anybody. I'm just there to help nudge you in the right direction. But if you have to stop a conversation, or you change because of who's in the room, then chances are you're being a little bit pharisaical. Because Jesus goes on to tell us in verse number 2, it says, "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. That therefore whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops." So how would we feel if those conversations is abruptly stopped, got broadcast and yelled from the rooftops? How would we feel if all of our little small chitter-chatter was put out there for everybody to hear? I'll give you an example. When I train people at work, I tell them, I say, everything you say in this room, treat it as if it's going to be played on the 6 o'clock news. Because everything at work is recorded. All phone calls are recorded. All radio traffic's recorded. There are video cameras in the room, and it's all public record. So anything that's said or done can at any time pop up on the front page of the newspaper, or it can be played on the 6 o'clock news. That scares a lot of people. You know, a lot of people think they have great customer service skills until their exact words can be played back verbatim. When the heat's on and you're getting fussed at or you're getting chewed out for something that's not your fault, but you have to react in a professional and calm manner. But as Christians, basically the same thing applies to us, right? God's keeping a record of everything we do, right? Good, bad, ugly, doesn't matter. There's a record of it, right? There's nothing that's done in secret from God. Everybody agree with that? So here we see that Jesus is taking the time to tell the disciples in front of this big, huge crowd that's so big that people are trampling upon each other, get to hear the words of Jesus saying, beware of being a hypocrite. That was his message in this big, huge, innumerable crowd. If you're going to talk the talk, walk the walk. It's that simple. Don't do one thing. Don't say one thing and then do something different. In fact, the Bible goes on to tell us in Revelation, in chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "So then, because thou art lukewarm and are neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." So the Bible tells us several times that being hot or cold is to be better than being lukewarm. And that's basically what a hypocrite is, isn't it? You're just warm enough to try to say the right things, but you're not hot enough to actually do them. And I have a challenge for everybody when you leave church today. As James was saying earlier, we'll all go eat lunch somewhere. If you go out to a restaurant, as you're sitting there waiting on your table, or as you're sitting at your table, if you go out to eat, I want you to do me a favor. And I just want you to sit there and be quiet a little bit for a couple of minutes. Especially if you have people that look like they went to church sitting around you. You know, if they're kind of dressed up, got their church clothes on, just be quiet for a second and listen to the conversations of the table around you. And ask yourself if you would want to go to that person's church. Or if you would want what that person has. You'll be surprised at the conversations you hear after church. Now, hopefully you're talking about the message, not whether how long or how short the message was, how hot or how cold it was in church, or how the choir sang or sang off key, or, you know, what sister so-and-so wore to church, or, you know, how brother so-and-so's wore the same suit for the last 4 weeks, or whatever. I'm serious now. Y'all listen to these conversations and see what you hear. Just take a couple of minutes. Just be quiet at your table and listen to what the tables around you are talking about. Then ask yourself if you would want to be in that church. And then think about your own conversations when you leave here. Are we being Pharisaical? And I'll go ahead and tell you, preachers are the worst ones. If you go out to eat and see a preacher full of table full of preachers, you're going to hear the worst conversations. Because they're either trying to one-up each other on their churches, or they're complaining about their churches. I'm sorry, I don't know why that's the way it is, but it is. If you go out to eat and you listen to preachers, sometimes they're the world's worst, when they should be the example. Y'all know I'm right. Y'all have heard them. Sometimes you just shake your head and want to say, I wouldn't want to go to that man's church. To hear the way he talks out here? No. And it's the same way. We all make mistakes. We all grumble and gripe when we shouldn't, when we should be thankful. But what is human nature? What's the flesh want to do? That mouth just wants to run, don't it? Just wants to grumble and complain. But yet the Bible tells us, don't be a hypocrite. It's Jesus' own words. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. He even repeats it in Revelation, saying he's going to spit us out for being lukewarm. So as you go out to eat today, just stop and listen. Tell me what you hear. I'd love to hear tonight or next week what your conversations are that you hear. And then tell me what your own conversation was at your table. Because I'd be willing to bet, as we stop and listen to others and hear how petty and how small and insignificant things are that people are complaining about, our own conversations might change. Because, you know, people are probably listening. Just like I asked you to list, you know, your conversations are being listened to. If nobody else is listening, God's listening. So what are we telling God? Are we sitting there complaining about what the thermostat was set at, how long the service was, how far away we had to park to walk in, you know, the color of the carpet, the flowers up front? Or are we just sitting there just, thank you, Lord, I actually got to get up and walk into church today. I had a vehicle that would drive me here. Lord, help me as I go into this restaurant to represent you, to be that shining light to my community, so that others will see something different in me. There's two approaches there. Are we being the example that Jesus called us to be? Or are we being a Pharisee and not even realizing it?